place in the book of Ruth, chapter number 1. The book of Ruth, chapter 1. Believe me, Ruth is in the Bible, and it's in the Old Testament. Okay? If you're looking at Psalms, just turn to the left, you'll find Ruth. Ruth, chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse number 1 to you. Just go with me, okay? Ruth, chapter 1, from verse 1. And now it came to pass that in the days of the judge, when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of the house of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, and he and his wife and his two sons there about 10 years. And Malon and Shalom died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Let me pause there for a minute. I'm sure many of us have read the story before, but let me just highlight a couple of things in there. What we're talking about today is still the story of Ruth, walking from our faith to our destiny by faith. These three women had something in common to them. They had dead husbands. For Naomi, it was even more grievous. Not only did she lose her husband, but she also lost her only two children. The story, as we just read now, was like this family decided to move from where they were meant to be established because of the family, because of the condition that was going on, to another place where things were good. But as they got there, the vision of abundance was diminished because the leader, the head of the home, died. But for about 10 years, his sons got married to the people in that land. And for 10 years, they lived, but at the end of it, they died. So as it were, death seems to be surrounding the home. For Orpah and Ruth, by their association with Naomi and her family, they also experienced sorrow. There is a moment, and indeed there are moments in your life, that through your association, you end up in a place you did not expect. These girls were married for 10 years with the hope of a cover, increase in their life. But they also somehow did not just, probably, they didn't even know their father-in-law, but they knew this woman had a husband. But here they were in a home for 10 years. They did not even have any offspring. So for 10 years, no kids, nothing. At least in those days, that was kind of important. So they found themselves by association with Naomi. They had no child. But to make matters worse, the same thing Naomi experienced, they equally experienced. In the modern day, someone might most likely say that Naomi is carrying the body of death. That not only did she lose her husband, but because of whatever reason that could be, even our own sons equally died. My question to you this morning is this: how long have you been in whatever association, perhaps relationship at home in marriage, perhaps relationship at work where you're laboring, perhaps even here in church, perhaps with a friend or two, turn down the pan on this thing? And somehow in this relationship, you've not been able to show anything that, yes, we've been together for a while. This woman for 10 years had nothing to show. And it was just a huge mess for them. Carrying on, verse 6. After all this calamity had come upon Naomi and her family, the Bible says that she arose with her daughter-in-laws that she might return to the country of Moab. Return from Moab, in order to go back to our homeland. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited the people by giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. For the Lord dealt kindly with you, as he has dealt with the dead and with me. Verse 9. The Lord grants you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of their husband. She kissed them and lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto your people. Verse 11. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are yet not any more sons? Are yet there any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, and go your way. I'm too old to have an husband. And if I should say, I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieveth me so much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Now, what we've read so far now is like she had come to a point in her life when she suddenly had accepted the fact that things will not work out for her anymore. She has accepted the bad news that was permeating around her. She has given up on herself, and because of her age, perhaps she felt that time was running out, or time has run out for her already. She could not see how she could be a blessing to her daughters-in-law anymore at this time. Even for her, she believed that the hand of the Lord was against her. But think like her. She got married, she relocated because they believed that something better could be in another place. She lost her husband. 10 years later, she lost her kids. And she that went out plentifully suddenly realized and said, everything that I've had seems to have departed from me. For her also, even in encouraging her daughter-in-law, was saying, what is up with me has affected you too, but please, you don't need to follow me any longer. The Lord has forgotten about me. My life cannot be a blessing to you any longer. You came into my home believing that you will prosper. But look at what is going on. Even for 10 years, no child of yours. You and I seem to be in the same category. For I used to have children, now I have zero children. And you have lost your husband like I've lost my husband. And you did not even have any issue. As the way she was beginning to tell them how bad things were in our life. This morning, I want to ask you, in the journey of life, do you feel like Naomi? Do you just want to be left alone because things are not working out? Do you feel that time has run out on you already? Perhaps you feel like God has given up on you. You pray, you fasted, you bound, you lose, you did all the things that you need to do, but it seems as if rather than heaven should open up to you, there's been an eclipse of darkness over you. You're tired. even of God. You're tired of people. You're tired of life. You're tired of everything in between. I want the Naomi in the house to listen to me. You've lost a lot. Things since I've missed you a lot. Where you thought you would prosper, you've met with extreme poverty. Even those who are associated with you are feeling the same pain that you're feeling. And in your distress, you believe that it is you that is causing the pain. Even perhaps they even are suspicious of you, that it's because of something you did in the past that's causing all the pain. And we all have come to a point of agreeing that God's hand is against you. Let me give you a notice here. Your days of shame and disgrace is coming to an end.
Amen.
You will live in your own land with joy, and your joy will last forevermore in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Going on in verse 14, we read, after she has encouraged her daughter-in-laws to leave, they all lifted up their voice and wept again for the sorrow they experienced. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And Naomi looked at Ruth and said, behold, Orpah, your sister-in-law, has gone back unto her people, unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Orpah was a good person. She wasn't a bad person. And she cannot be faulted for leaving Naomi at this point in time. She was still young. She was still able to receive at least a look, a wink from somewhere. All was not lost. She still had the hope that things can be different for her. And for her, she saw the possibility of going back to the life that she used to know before she got involved with Naomi's family as still being there. Why would she want to go anyway with Orpah to the land that even with Naomi, from the land which even Naomi herself ran away because of famine? She made a choice that she would rather stay where she's familiar with, return to where she's familiar with, than going ahead with this woman who everything to have come back upon her. So she kissed her and said goodbye to her and returned back to what she's familiar with. Let me speak to the Naomis in the house once again. Naomi. Naomi could be a man, could be a woman, but listen to me, Naomi. Good people will leave you in the darkest moments of your life. I'm not talking about bad people, but good people will leave you in the darkest moment of your life. And the reason why they will leave you is because they're stressed out. They're stressed out because they're working hard for their own agenda. And believe it or not, they do not necessarily care that much about you. You see, as long as you are able to help advance their own agenda, as long as your agenda and their own agenda has an appearance of going in the same direction, they will stay with you. But the moment the chips are down, they will depart from you. Listen, I said they're good people, they're not bad people. Think about the public transport system. The driver of the bus has a destination in mind. Is that correct?
Yeah.
If the bus is going from point A to point E, and you enter the bus at point A and you're going to point C, when you get to point C, Even though the driver is good, the driver is fantastic, will you continue on the journey? No, you come off the bus. It's the same thing, Naomi. It's not everybody that is going to where you're going. But as long as your agenda meshes with their own agenda, they will stay with you. But the moment it's over, they will get off and they will attach themselves to another that will help them advance their own agenda. Naomi, when you're building your house, scaffolding is put around the building. But once the building has been built, you remove the scaffolding from the house because it's no longer needed. You see, at the opportune time, they will leave you. Good people will leave you when they find somebody else that will help them advance their own agenda. Once again, I say to Naomi, accept the fact that good people will leave you. And they're leaving you because their old part in the story of your life is over. But guess what? Your story is not over. I say that again. Accept the fact that the good people that leave you are leaving you because their part in the story of your life is over. But your own story is not over. Let them go. They're good people. The same way good people came and got you to where you are today, better people will come and take you to the end of the journey.
Amen.
In Luke chapter 1, verse 16, continue the story. After Naomi has encouraged them and showed them that this will not work for you, leave the church, resign, leave the city. This relationship cannot work. Go. Orpah felt, I need to go again. But look at Ruth. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or return from following thee. For where you go, I will go. Where you leave, you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God, who you believe has failed you, will be my God. When you die, I will die, and there I will bury it. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. I want you to remember verse 16 and 17 very well. Verse 18. And when Naomi saw that this girl is not going to leave me alone, and she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Now I want you to understand what happened to Ruth in here. Ruth, her fate as of this time was just like the woman she was with. She had hope. And the woman who she was with for 10 years, not only did she also lose her husband like her, but the mess she was in, she found herself in exactly the same mess. Now let me talk to Ruth in the house. There will come a time, in spite of everything that is going wrong around you, you come into the presence of somebody and you just know in your heart that your destinies are interlocked. You just have this feeling that that person's vision and your vision will become bigger. You just sense within you where this person is where you're meant to be. You just realize that I cannot get to where I'm going without this person.
your heart is just kindled with a person. Somehow you feel within you, with no evidence, that I can be naked to this person and will not need to be ashamed. Somehow you can get there without this person. Somehow you realize, yes, things are naked and things are bad. It's a mess around us. It's because I was following you, all these things are happening, but you just feel within you that this is where I'm meant to be. When you see the person, you rejoice. When you hear the voice of that person, you feel within you a leaping of that great thing within you. I said, yes, that's the voice I wanted to hear. We're talking about walking through the valley of the shadow of the darkness, but fearing no evil as long as I know you are with me, God. We're talking about roots, just knowing that this is where I'm meant to be. Yes, things are not working out, but I know my destiny is tied up with this person, and I will not go from you. But when you look at the words that Ruth said to Naomi, he said, please, don't tempt to go back from you. As far as I'm concerned right now, if you go, I will go with you. Wherever you say you want to sit, I'm sitting down there with you. Even if you die, I'm going to die in the service, and they must bury me where you are buried. And this is somebody who has seen beyond the now to know there's a bigger picture out there, knowing fairly well on this journey. I'm not a scaffold in your life, but I'm part of your building block as much as you're part of my own building block. Suddenly you come to the point that it is so. How do you know it's your Naomi, dear Ruth? You will rejoice with Naomi when she rejoices. You will mourn with Naomi when she mourns. You will simply say, let your God, even if you tell me God is not with you, that same God will be mine. We're talking about having a kindred spirit. David had Jonathan for him, knowing fully well that, hey, your father wants to kill me, but yet you are kindred with me. Ruth simply recognized the fact that this is not the end of her, but rather it is the beginning. Brethren, this morning, I want you to understand. Walking by sight will lead you nowhere than down the tube. Walking by faith is what gets you there. Like the songwriter said, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear, but I'm moved by the Spirit of the Lord. Is anybody here recognizing the fact that you need to find your own kindred spirit? For those of us that know the story of Ruth, you recognize that because she went to Naomi, Naomi still went with this thinking in her mind that it's over for me. I left plenty. Now I'm called Mara because I came back empty. It is useless. Nothing good can happen to me. And Ruth just stayed with her. Now you said, I'm with you. When you go to chapter 2, 3, and 4, if you have time, read it. It so happened that even Naomi now began to give instructions to Ruth. Ruth found herself, as it happened, in Boaz's cornfield. And it so happened that when she was there, because she was diligent and according to instruction, she was noticed. By and by, she told her mother-in-law what was going on, said, this is what you should do, that's what you should do. And guess what? She who came with nothing suddenly became the wife of one of the richest men in the country. You know what? She listened to the Naomi that thought nothing was going on, but God was orchestrating something. What happened to Ruth was not for the moment, but was for the future. How many of you know the ninth child of Ruth? How many of you know who the ninth child of Ruth is? Anybody heard about King David? That's the grandmother of David. That king who God said is a man after my own heart. So while Naomi was thinking in the now, God was looking down into the future. For Ruth to speak prophetically and say, wherever you go, I go, your God will be my God. She suddenly realigned herself with destiny. She did not even know what was going to happen. She married Boaz. Boaz was the father of Obed. Obed was the father of David. A foreigner aligned herself with destiny. She spoke prophetically in this relationship. When you sleep, I will sleep. When it's good, I'm there with you. For better and for worse. For richer and for
poorer.
For poorer. It does not matter. We're going on together. Our vision is one. My strength will cover your weakness. Your weakness can be covered by my strength. Let's go together. People will come in, people will go up, but I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Let me digress a little bit. When you hear the statement, God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, it is not a tautology. Forsaken, he said, I will not leave you physically, neither will I leave you emotionally. Forsaken, he said, emotionally, I will still be with you. When you're weeping, I'm there with you. When you're standing tall, I'm still there with you. He said, even in the presence of the enemy, I'll play a good trick on him and prepare a table before you. My focus on Ruth this morning, and I'm praying that everyone who is a Ruth here will realign yourself with destiny. You will come to the time, and for some of us, the time has come when suddenly our focus is not what is happening on the outside, but we turn our focus on the inside. We come to understand, if it says, in me you live, in me you move, in me you have my very existence. When we come to understand the whole thing that says, he can make all things work together. When we come to understand that it is written that by him, for him, through him, all things were made, and in him all things hold together. All things is what you like and what you don't like. Who you like and who you do not like. The place you love and the place you hate, everything is together. You can make everything work together. This morning I'm asking you, can you get a vision? Can your vision be renewed? Can you let the hope in your life go and just know that job is done? And can you be a Naomi to a Ruth and direct that even though I could not do it, but I will guide you on the way to go? Can you be a Ruth with a vision knowing fully well that my tomorrow shall be greater than my yesterday? Is anybody here whose spirit has been given a second chance at life? I will be the father I'm meant to be. I'll be the mother I'm meant to be. I'll be the wife I'm meant to be. I'll be the husband I'm meant to be. I'll be the help I'm meant to be. I'll be the giver I'm supposed to be. I'll be what God has called me to be. That not in spite of the results that I see now, not that the things which I see now, they're temporal. But the things which I do not see, that the ones that have eternal value. Whatever you do, in any relationship, whatever you do and you're feeling stressed out, it's because you don't care about it. You might say, I care. No. You're caring about the things you should not care about. That's why you're stressed out. Even when you get no results, and because of that, you're stressed out. But guess what? If you're working hard at your relationship that you love, Even though you don't get resolved, you keep going on because of love. That's called passion. There's a difference between passion and stress. Working hard at what you do not really care about is simply stress. So whatever you're doing, going to work, coming to church, becomes stressful to you, you really don't care about it. You think you do. No, you don't. No. Stop doing it. Because you're stressing yourself out. But if you're passionate about it, whether you fail, whether you succeed, the love of God keeps you going on and on and on. Has anybody read, as I begin to close, where it is said, it's in Isaiah 29, I believe, verse 13, he said, "These people, they draw near to me with their mouth, but their heart is where? Far from me." So in other words, you can be doing the works, but your heart is somewhere else. You can be like Oprah, who shows that I'm there, but suddenly, no, let me go to where my heart really is. Let's say to those of us that have been married for a while, and for those of you that will soon get married, if you stress yourself out, you're wasting your time. Revisit the vision you had at the very beginning of how my family, your family is going to be. It's never too late. Find that passion that used to have in the beginning again and push out. Understand that where you go, wife, is where I go. Where you sleep is where I sleep, husband. Your God is my God. Your people are my people. No matter how bad it is, we're knit together. If your passion, you don't find passion where you are working, you're only doing it for the money, believe me, you'll be stressed day in, day out. But you can ask the Lord, where I go today, and I told those who walk, who care to listen, don't say today, Lord, as I go there, don't let them stress me out. No, say, Father, as I go today, let me be the light of the world. Passion. Those people are going to kill me. Yeah? It's you that allowed them to kill you. It's too difficult. I can't do it. You will not do it. Say, I know the Lord will make a way for me where there seems to be no way. Walk with passion. Understand that you're there for the long haul. For the things that will come out of you shall be great indeed in Jesus' name. Ruth made a choice that our faith is not our destination, but by faith she walks into our destiny. You will make it there in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let us pray. You may be Naomi who has given up on everything, believing that it's too late, I'm too old now. I've missed my time. I've missed my opportunity. You may be like Oprah. Believe me, you want to go. It's okay. You'll find your own Naomi. Or you may be like Ruth, who suddenly you know that you are where you're meant to be. This is my church. This is the land that the Lord has given to me. This is my husband. This is my wife. This is what God wants me to do. Even though you're not succeeding, but you know in your heart of hearts that this is where God wants me. It's time for you to revisit that vision, for it's an appointed time. Though it may tarry, but it will not fail. It will surely come to pass. My focus is really on Naomi and Ruth today. I'm saying to Naomi, your irreversible shall be reversible. Yeah. The tide against you shall begin to work for your good in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
To Ruth, in the house, you are meant to be where he wants you to be. Things might not work out the way you expect, but know fully well he's taking you somewhere. Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord knows how to deliver them out of it all.
Naomi, the good people have left you because the part in the story of your life is over. Wish them well and let them go. They've done what they ought to do in your life. Let them go. And if there's still a part of your life, time and space will not be a barrier. They will still be connected to you either way. Please, know that they may leave you physically, but if they are part of your life, you will still be connected to them either way. So let them go. Let Oprah go. If she has to go, let her go. But the Lord has given you a root that is sticking with you. Recognize that root and stick with that root. I'm going to quiet for a couple of minutes now. I just want you to pray. Whichever part of the message that touches your heart, speak to God. You need recognition. Why not pray that God then recognize?